This is VK6ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCIC, and welcome to News West for the 6th of October, 2024. Now on with the show.
You may have heard the tagline, amateur radio, the original social network. It's pretty good really, considering that the term these days applies to the use of electronic media to connect people together. Of course, social networking wasn't invented by radio amateurs, nor was it invented by internet geeks. Social networking has been around for as long as people sat around together talking about the things that interest them. At one end of the timeline, and Facebook didn't invent that term either, people may have discussed where they might find the food they needed for survival, or what the weather or the gods or whatever was doing. Zip ahead to today and those topics are still up there with many more added. There are those amateurs who might say that the hobby of amateur radio is all about the technical stuff, and that we are not here for the social networking. In the same way, some amateurs may say that they are here for the social networking. Who's right? How can we decide what the amateur radio hobby should be? I'd like to propose the point of view that amateur radio should be what we want it to be. And for individuals, that can change from time to time. I'm Bob, VK6PAP.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Over the past few months, I've been investigating the history of the IARU, the International Amateur Radio Union, to help it celebrate a century of amateur radio achievements. If you're a radio amateur and you pay anyone a membership fee, I have questions for you. Let me set the stage with a quote from the IARU. Quote, "All licensed radio amateurs benefit from the work of the IARU, whether or not they're members of their national IARU member society. But every radio amateur should be a member. Only by combining our efforts in this way can we ensure the future health of amateur radio, for ourselves and for future generations." End quote. That's straight from the IARU website. It seems like a lofty and worthy aspiration. Before I proceed, let me assure you that I'm absolutely committed to improving this hobby and this community, committed to strengthening its representation, its reach, and increasing its activity levels. The IARU has existed for nearly a century. It consists of a global organisation and three regional ones, each working towards improving on and advocating for the amateur community. Governed by different constitutions, each organisation pursues similar but not identical roles within its sphere of influence. Most, if not all, IARU organisations are run by volunteers, people like you and I, who stick their hand up and help out, writing documents, attending meetings, updating websites, managing membership information, and all the other things that the IARU apparently does. I say apparently because getting anything other than motherhood statements from any of the IARU organisations is like pulling teeth. To construct a historic list of elected office bearers, president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and various regional directors is an exercise in archaeology, and much of the information doesn't appear to exist. That also seems to be true for what the IARU is spending its money on, your money. The IARU is funded by the fees that we pay to the representative body in our country, either directly or as a member of a club who contributes. In my case, if I was paying a membership fee to the Wireless Institute of Australia, like I did for a decade, some of that would pass to the IARU Region 3, and then from there, some would pass to the Global IARU Secretariat. Multiplied by every country and every paying member in that country across a century, there are significant, and to the best of my knowledge, unaccounted for sums of money involved. Then there is a list of things that the IARU has achieved. I don't doubt for a moment that people have been working very hard, giving it their all, helping, working late, doing things above and beyond to make outcomes appear, as if by magic, without any of the blood, sweat and tears associated with the process. I suppose it's like sausage, nobody wants to see how it's made, and I understand the sentiment. What of the outcomes? The published results? Should they be secret too? At the moment, the IAIU claims that it represents amateur radio on the global stage, and on its website lists its achievements, namely 21 MHz, amateur satellite, WARC bands, more amateur satellite bands, more 7 MHz frequencies, easing of restrictions in relation to disaster communications, 136 kHz, 472 kHz, 5 MHz, 50 MHz in Region 1, international roaming, and emergency communications. Impressive list, right? There's 12 achievements listed in all, across 100 years, with meetings in cities all over the globe with hundreds of people participating. Mind you, it appears that only recently has some level of coordination emerged between where meetings are held. By and large, each organisation meets every few years, staggered, so there's always a meeting in a different country every year. Those frequent flyer miles must be adding up. If only there was another way to communicate across the globe. So let's look at this in terms of effort and reward. Let's say that across the globe that at any one point in time there are 100 people part of the IAIU infrastructure across the four organisations, or 25 in each. It's a modest representation. Let's say that they each volunteered 1 hour per week, so 52 hours a year, 5,200 hours across the entire IAIU per year, or 520,000 hours across a century. This means that each achievement took more than 43,000 hours of volunteer effort. Unless, of course, there was more achieved that is undocumented. Mind you, 52 hours per year per volunteer is also probably light on, potentially by orders of magnitude. I note that, for example, there's no mention of things like quashing the 2-metre proposal by France, where the local aviation authorities were looking to acquire some extra spectrum, or negotiations in relation to 1.2 GHz at the ITU World Radio Communication Conference 2023, or WRC 23, in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, held between 20 November and 15 December 2023. My point is this. What is the IAIU doing? Is it really effective, or is it burning volunteer hours like it's going out of fashion? What is it spending your money on? Where is the record of all this activity? What level of accountability is there? Is your peak body looking at the IAIU books? Are they holding the IAIU accountable, or are they part of the problem? There is plenty of evidence that there are other issues too. As I said, I attempted to write down who was elected president in what year in which IAIU organisation. Aside from missing decades of information, there are amateurs in that lineup who served as president for 26 years. Imagine that, a representative body that elects the same person for 9 straight terms. I'm not naming them, the information I have is incomplete. Right now, I cannot tell you who was previously elected across IAIU Region 3, or list anyone between Hiram Percy Maxim, elected in 1925 as the first IAIU president, and 2009 when Tim Ellum, Victor Echo 6 Sierra Hotel and Golf 4 Hotel Uniform Alpha, was elected president to the global body. But it's unclear if he was the only president between 2009 and 2024 when he was re-elected. So what do we do about this? First of all, am I just tilting at windmills, or is this an actual issue that needs fixing? And if so, what might that look like? Engagement would be my first guess. Is your club sending money to your peak body? Has it asked what the funds are used for? If you're a member of your peak body, have you asked them where the money goes and how much of it goes to the IAIU and what it's spent on? Contacting your peak body and asking questions might be the first place to start, but if your peak body is dysfunctional, as plenty of them appear to be, perhaps it's time to contact the president of your own IAIU region and ask them what gives. That is, if you can find out who they are. As I said, I think that our hobby is important. I think that it needs advocacy. I think that takes money and effort. But right now, I have very limited evidence that what we're doing and how we're doing it is the most effective way to go about it. What will you do about this? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo. Lima.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur licence test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications? The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3pm until about 7pm on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go. And who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So, the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3pm until 7pm, and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5pm until 9pm, we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3pm every Tuesday above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7pm, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTube newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqrsnet@gmail.com. That is cqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
Hello from VK6RRG. This is WAG News for the week beginning Sunday, October 6th. The next meeting of WAG will be tomorrow, October the 7th. The meeting will be held at the First Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall, located at number 12 Australia 2 Drive in Crawley, right down the end, past the yacht clubs, to the sharp left at the end. Doors will open around 7pm for a 7:30pm start. This meeting will see a talk and practical hands-on by Anthony VK6AXB on the topic of repeaters, a quick overview, and cavity filters, the who, what, where, why, when, and how. How to convert an X-commercial VHF cavity to the notch filter that we need for 2 meters. WAG has a whole heap of unconverted cavities, and if you learn how to, it could be a good project. Also, we have had a request from the First Amelia Heights Scout Group, who have done JOTI, that's Jamboree on the Internet, for a number of years, and are interested in this year also doing JOTA, J Jamboree on the air. Are there any WAG members who can help? We would sling up a quick and dirty antenna around about 12 on Saturday, and then can go to late, no later than midnight, and begin again on Sunday after 0600 or so. I have said that I will know more on the availability of WAG to help after the meeting on Monday. A reminder that we have used Scout Group's halls to meet for the past 20 years or so. So putting back into scouting, when asked, is a great way to stay on side with Scouts WA, the Scouts WA radio team, and now that we have the container down at the Scout Training Centre, even more reason to stay in good with the Scouts. So if you can help this October 19 and 20, even for a few hours or so each, that would be great. Come along to the meeting tomorrow night and let's plan our JOTA 2024. This has been Mark, VK6X-Ray, Lima Zulu. 73s from WAG VK6RRG.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's October Bulletin to go to air. Please note that this month there will be no 10-metre transmission from Mike VK8MA. This month, as well as the latest club news, I'll be talking about Fleming, pioneer of radio's early days. This will be followed by Bill VK3BR with a discussion on tin whiskers and a mystery solved. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmissions, times, frequencies and modes can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC broadcasts. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. If you do listen this way, some brief feedback would be appreciated. Now, some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris VK6JI will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz starting at 8 a.m. Please note that this start time of 8 a.m. is an hour earlier than it used to be. Also at 8 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5. At 10 a.m. local time, the program will be transmitted via the News West linked repeater system, simultaneously with a 40-meter transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. On Wednesday, October the 9th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 4:30 p.m. WA local time. Please note this time change now that Victoria has changed to Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C following the AR newsline. On Sunday, October the 13th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 7 a.m. 160-metre broadcast of the WIA News by Phil VK6GX and the 40-metre broadcast by Chris VK6JI. The 40-metre transmission now starts at approximately 8:30 a.m., shortly after the 80-metre transmission ends. The next lunchtime meeting for members and friends of the RAOTC in Perth is on Tuesday, October the 8th, at the Woodbridge Hotel, 50 East Street, Guildford. We meet at 11:30 for midday lunch. An attractive, well-priced seniors menu is available, which can be viewed online. Everyone's welcome to come along and have an eyeball QSO. There's adequate car parking, but if you are coming by train, be sure to alight at the Guildford East, repeat Guildford East station. Full details are on the club website under the heading Luncheons. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the October RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive, VK6, CSW.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
The October edition of RASA's QTC magazine should be published next weekend, so keep an eye out for it. QTC is published electronically and is free to anyone who wants to read it. Unlike other amateur radio peak bodies, RASA does not reserve its resources for paying members only. The Radio Amateur Society of Australia operates on a tiny budget, well below $10,000 a year, with its funds coming mostly from membership subscriptions and donations. Member fees are only $10 a year. The RASA website is vkradioamateurs.org, vkradioamateurs.org. Take a look at the website and the resources offered to you completely free of charge. These include an amateur radio technical support help desk, VK Regs, a website dedicated to explaining amateur radio regulations in Australia, and QRM Guru, which walks you through processes to eliminate or reduce QRM, and of course the Foundation Level Study Guide, developed by a team from RASA. Based on the Foundation syllabus, this electronic resource will prepare you for the Foundation Level exam. It's free. All RASA resources are free to access and accessible to all. You don't need to be a member. Now here's something that may interest those of you who are planning to travel eastwards in a month or so. Antennapalooza. What a name. That's a field event held in Gippsland, Victoria, at the end of November. Antennapalooza is an easy event to attend. No need to book, you just rock up. It's 10 acres of paddock and you BYO everything. Camping, caravanning, food, whatever. You bring it all yourself. You're given a paddock, there's a toilet and there's a tap for water. There are a series of talks on various subjects and, of course, as the name suggests, it's about antennas. Bring and try your portable antennas. And the show item for the weekend will be the erection of a curtain array. Interesting. If you're interested, take a look at the website antennapalooza.net.au. antennapalooza.net.au.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listener Roy VK6X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline. For the 6th of October 2024, today I have the following items for you. First off, I have a dual band VHF UHF Bofang 8 watt to 1 watt transceiver, $15 or near a sorrel for that. There's also a Yaesu Fox Tango 70 Delta 2 meter 70 centimeter 5 watt handheld transceiver, $130 or near a sofa. Contact Tony VK6 Alpha Tango India on mobile 0472 608 523, email to Tango Alpha Romeo Golf Echo November Tango India at aussiebroadband.com.au. Also I have a laptop computer. It's an Acer Aspire 3 with a 15.5-inch screen laptop, November 1C4 A315-41 series with W10 installed, price $120 or nearest offer. Also have a peak power meter. It's a Eins or Echo India November Sierra model Papa Hotel Papa 11, 1000 watt RF peak power meter, price $80 or nearest offer. Contact Tony for, he may be contacted on mobile phone 0472 608 523. That phone number once again, 0427 608 523, or landline is 0895286715. I'll say again, landline 0895286735. Next group of items comes from David. He's downsizing his shack and has for sale the following: a Yaesu Fox Tango 2800 mic, $150. He also has a Kenwood Tango Sierra 660, 6 metre HF transceiver, $250. There's a Mirage amplifier, 35 watt, 2 metres. Bravo 3-4 Golf, $50 on that. There's also a Palomar amplifier, Tango X-Ray 225 HD, $50. There's an ATU homebrew HF homebrew tuner, $50. There's a homebrew power supply, 12 volts for the Tier 660, that's $20. There's also a Fox Tango 209 Romeo Hotel handheld transceiver plus manual, $20. There's a Morse key for $20. And low pass filters, 0 to 30 megahertz, $10 each. And a mystery bag of bits and pieces for $10 also. That's about all I have for you. But if you want to contact me for those items, you can do so. Email address victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com.au or telephone 0427 000995, 0427 000995, or that email again, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and that same address, that same email for any item for next week's broadcast. This is all I have for this week. Once again, thank you for listening. 7-3 from Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.